Hello and welcome to the Game Week 33 episode of the Addicts Podcast. My name is Dan, aka FPL Mate. Let's get into it.
Good evening, good morning to you all, wherever you may be watching around the planet. We've got a bumper Game Week 33 edition of the FPL Addicts podcast with the usual panel, but also we are joined, some could say royalty, but some would also say a special guest. But more importantly, he is known to be your best mate for the 2023-24 fantasy season. We get into it. Firstly, may I introduce very briefly, Reedy. Good morning, good afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, considering the company we've got, just keep me brief, Chaz, and I'll just say I'm here as usual, back to do another podcast. Excited, obviously, we've got a great guest in Dan. So on to the next one, bud.
On to Dan.
That way, I should say.
Dan. Yes, that way indeed. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on once again. It's been a while since I've been on the pod, but yeah, good to be back and getting stuck into some more FPL chat.
Dan, how's your season been so far from an FPL perspective?
Oh, it's been it's not been my best year. We'll put it that way. It's been a bit of a slog. I think I've been ranked between 200 and 300K pretty much every single game week since like game week 7 or 8. I can't seem to move from this kind of area, but hopefully as we get to the end of the season, we've got some chips to play. Of course, things might pick up a little bit, but yeah, it's been a long, long season. It's been really difficult to make ground. Maybe it's the season of the template. Some people are saying that. Maybe could see why that could be true.
Yeah, it's a fair point now, or it could even be the season of variety. What element do you feel has surprised you the most about playing FPL this season? Is it the variety of captain choices now, week on week? Now we see that Haaland at times can underperform, or is it the burst of the budget enablers?
I think definitely the budget enablers. It's driven a lot of people towards certain picks. I mean, how can you go without Cole Palmer at that kind of price? Even players like Saka and Foden at around 8 million sort of towards the beginning of the season. You just can't not pick them. Okay, there, mate. that surprised
me.
It's
not that much,
it's not that surprising.
That didn't surprise me at all. It's just that water came the wrong way around. I apologise. Yeah, we're talking about the Saka phone and Cole Palmer. That's going on the bloopers. Oh, shit. Sorry about that. Cool. Crikey. Oh. I tell you what, guys, that was not scripted at all. Without further ado, we've got to keep the show go rolling. It is game week 32. Time to go over our teams and how we did. First, over to you, Dan. How do you feel that you went?
61 points for me in game week 32, which is a little bit below probably what you'd hope for. I don't know. It seemed like my week wasn't that bad, but I think a lot of people scored very high with the likes of Pedro Porro, who I don't have, and I don't even know who else I don't have that scored points. Foden not playing screwed me over as well. That was no good. Had to bring in Eze against Man City. Didn't really want to have to do that, to be honest, but yeah, annoying. And I got the goalkeepers wrong again. Neto outscoring Kelleher. Damn. But it could be worse. It could be worse. That's certainly not a shocker. Not too much of a shocker of a week, but could have been better.
Reedy, how about yourself? Was it a little bit better than Dan's, or was it just another disappointment outing?
A bit better. I mean, I did take a -4, so obviously 76 looks great, but, 72. I don't know. At times I find myself this season thinking I'll make a move early and then always regretting it. I mean, probably a lot of people in FBL and FBL community probably do the same thing, but I went on Gordon. I hate Anthony Gordon and I brought him in. I thought, right, Alanga's got to go. Funnily enough, Alanga actually, I think, got 4 or 5 points. He got an assist, I think. for this game week. But yeah, 72 is fine, I guess. I brought in Haaland for Tony, which actually worked out well. And then, yeah, Neto, Kelleher. I think on some of these picks, like Dan was saying, the goalkeeper picking the wrong one, that's sort of the thing this season, is that you go with one, the other scores, and vice versa and stuff. So, yeah, I think the happiest for me is the Van de Ven 11-pointer. I got him in on the wild card in 28. So, you know, he got his injury and so on, and I was just like, I'm never going to get points from this guy, especially Spurs as well. They don't look great defensively, but he scored an absolute banger. And then Reguilon jam off the bench because Gusto wasn't in the squad. So that was my game week, mate.
Dan, you got any quick thoughts when you're looking at this team?
Well, Van de Ven was not a name I expected to see on a team sheet today, I have to admit. But yeah, you pulled it out of the bag.
Yeah, it's a strange one in a way, because I know people who've wildcard have gone with Adogi, and Porro was the flavour for like quite early on in the season. And then people kind of like put off by going back to Porro because he's gone up so much. Because I think Spurs blanked in the week after the double game week, so 26. So people may have got rid of, you know, Spurs assets or, you know, Chelsea and so on. So I went with Van de Ven, and it didn't start out great, but obviously this 11-pointer has been a bit cheeky, a bit nice.
As always, we've got to say hello to all of those that have decided to tune in today. And this comment probably came in about 20 minutes ago and certainly before our scheduled time. Gary, good afternoon to you. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Our number one fan, of course, in Colm Bugler, a Fulham fan and enthusiast himself. Morning, guys. Great guest. There you go. Big kudos. Hey. And look, yeah, about this. So there's been two of the last three game weeks where I've tried to press pick team, but it says permission denied. So I've had to sign back in as I'm about to show my team. So that's looked grim as well. Straight into the podcast league of six members. Some had fair weeks. We'll go briefly through Rev. 64 isn't too bad. The one that stands out here, I know Dan knows Rev himself well here. But Dubravka 9-pointer is an interesting one. Dan, how relevant is Dubravka still these days in FPL? Because it's not that he's particularly fallen off a cliff, but he's just certainly lost interest.
I think that he looked like he was too good to be true at one point. Newcastle flying defensively and Pope gets injured. Dubravka at 4 million, or he might have even been like 3.9 million at one point. And suddenly we've got this amazing pick, but unfortunately Newcastle's defensive decline sort of aligned with Dubravka's entry into the team. So probably ended up indeed being too good to be true. But more recently, Newcastle, despite all of these injuries, have somehow managed to regain a little bit of defensive form. I think they've looked a little bit better over the past couple of game weeks. And I think that's culminated in a clean sheet against Fulham, it was, right?
Yeah, it was. I think the Newcastle goal lived a bit of a charmed life, but I mean, obviously it was down to Dubravka making saves as well. But yeah, I mean, not many teams go away to Fulham and kind of manage to not concede. So yeah, this is Rev's team, isn't it, Chazza, you said? I'm really surprised he's not gone with one of his boys. He's not learned our Reverend, has he? Because
he hasn't learned for 20 weeks, mate.
The theme of this season has been for him, he benches Everton and he benches Newcastle, obviously sometimes both in the same game week, and he ends up with points left on the bench, and he's gone with Zabani over Branthwaite, which puzzles me a bit, but you know, hey ho, you know, he's in touch with God, so I guess he knows better than most.
Straight to my team very quickly, and in fairness with his podcast league, kind of just been up the top at first. There was a big threat during the Christmas period from Elliot, who went without Haaland. I somehow held Haaland just on the bench for several weeks and didn't really turn out all that well. But it's now to 84 points. But the second best, of course, is Reedy, who we've just seen before. Now, I love my backline. I think it's just absolute star-studded, the absolute governors. A clean sheet from Cher, but I have to admit it was quite jammy because Gusto did not play away at Sheffield United, which I'm quite surprised by. Some got his assist, so did Palmer. Salah, look, got his goal. Same with Haaland and the rest. Just, if I can be brutally honest, they're just donkeys in this team. They really are. Outside of Phil Foden, who...
It started off with star-studded and really happy to donkeys. You change really quickly there, Jazz. I mean, the emotions of FPL, eh? That's what tends to happen. We love them 1 week and hate them the next.
Yeah. Dan, have you been surprised in terms of how much least amount of money we've spent on goalkeepers and how also, because of that, has assisted with our budget spread through across the teams? Because it seems that Areola and Dubravka really dominated as our top two options.
I don't think anyone really expected at the start of the season that there would end up being so many 4 million goalkeepers. I remember, you know, going back to game week one, there was kind of this thought, could Areola be starting ahead of Fabianski? Because Fabianski was the West Ham goalkeeper all of last season. So at 4 million, Areola, initial thoughts were, okay, he's going to be the backup goalkeeper. We quickly learned that Areola was the first choice goalkeeper. We then got, you know, Pope getting injured and Dubravka comes in. We've got Alisson getting injured and Kelleher comes in. And it seems to just keep happening where we get, this is pretty rare, we get 4 million goalkeepers that we could just rely on so much. So it's been a unique season with the 4 million goalkeepers. The last one I remember was Ben Foster for Watford a couple of years ago. That was a regularly starting 4 million goalkeeper. And that's, you know, a 4 million Watford goalkeeper. This year we've got Newcastle and West Ham and Liverpool more recently, which is a unique scenario.
Not to forget Nottingham Forest, who had the Turner thing.
Turner.
And then signed about 4 or 5 goalkeepers. It was like, it was crazy, wasn't it? People brought Turner in, I think, at one point, and then it was like, oh, he's lost his place now. So, you know, we turned into a bench goalkeeper.
The person he lost his place to has now lost their place as well, which is quite crazy in Nottingham Forest. 3 different first choice goalkeepers throughout this season. Might even be 4. I don't know. They've had a lot.
2 different managers as well.
Good point.
Yeah, that Forest, and especially with their points deductions going on. I just think it's so crazy with a points deduction situation at the moment, especially with Everton now, Nottingham Forest, and it's sort of giving a half chances to both Burnley and Luton. Do you feel that's sort of ruining the spectacle of a Premier League in general, Reedy? Yeah, I don't mean to spin it, just as a last caveat question for you, but just with all this going on, the men, they've got a great title race at the moment, the race for Europe. Do you feel that's just sort of tainted the season to an extent?
I don't think it's tainted it, I wouldn't say, because I think one thing as football fans and as people who play this game, we've all been banging on about this. We just want a normal season. We just want a normal season. Like last year, you know, there was the Queen's death, Queen Mother's, we had COVID. There was something else that went on, I think, for maybe even like 3 of the seasons out of the last 4. So we've cried out for that. And then we finally got one. And then there's more chaos or more things going on. Like, obviously, outside of FPL, people aren't happy about the way the Premier League are dealing with these point deductions during the season. And it could... an outcome may not come when the seasons are like finishing and whatever. So it is nuts. It is a bit crazy, but I've still enjoyed it as such. And I mean, the fact that we have got 3 people in a title race compared to just 2 teams, or not people teams, but like that in itself is amazing. I'm sure Dan will agree, being an Arsenal fan, right? So he'll agree. And you're an Arsenal fan as well, Chazza, so you can't complain.
I am, yeah.
That is brilliant. And the whole... I think Luton fans won't mind, you know, that there's maybe a bit of help there as such. Whether they'll be able to get there, I don't know. But I just think it's incredible, as usual. I mean, I love football, so I can't put a dampen like downer on it too much. Yeah. Yeah, it's a long explanation, but you know, there's a lot to cover.
Indeed. We've got a few other people that have decided to join and contribute. FPL veteran, thank you very much for tuning in. Hello to you. We've got Danish as well. Thank you to you as well. We go straight to our usual other leagues. We've got the Women's League here, and yet another week it's been JoJo, this time leading by 20 points. However, we're looking at a different side in this. Dan, would you know which manager we would like to have a look at?
I'm looking for a certain Morgan, who might be in this mini league, who is indeed my wife, Mrs. FPL mate. The Deli Tubbies.
Let's go straight to it. 52 points.
What is our rank at the moment?
Up to you.
What's our rank like at the moment? Is it, what is it, like 700, 800k?
860k.
Oh, she's dropped a little bit. Oh, dear. How many points?
52 at the end. Bench Carlton Morris.
Oh, nah, damn. That's no good. Yeah, she's... She just picks the players who score the most points last season. Last game. Whoever scores the most points last game should bring them in.
What chips has she got left? I don't know if you know that, Dan. We can have a look.
She has a bench boost and she has a
that's it.
Second wild card.
Oh, okay. Second wild card. That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, she's what you call it, you know, got three Arsenal things like that. Like, obviously, the double coming up, you know. Mm. I know she hasn't got a free hit, but she's got a wild card, which is pretty interesting. You never know, you might find her a lot higher up in the league table, come the end of the season, boys. I think she will, anyway. I think she'll climb up. Yeah,
you never know. Then, yeah, I think she's only in for like a couple of mini leagues, and your guys is one of them. She didn't even like this, has nothing to do with me. She's joined your mini league off her own back, like,
fair play,
it's clearly out there.
Dan, I know you do a series of videos every week. I'm not sure if those that may not tune into your channel, feel free to give a brief insight to those that are watching in terms of what videos you do this week, and more importantly, answer this first question: does Mrs. FPL mate watch your videos?
To answer that question, the answer is very much no. She does not. I think she finds it just too like cringeworthy to, I don't know, because like, I don't know, you're, like, your YouTube personality and then your personality with your loved ones is often at least a little bit different. I don't know. I don't think she likes it. I don't think she likes that. Plus, she finds them very boring, very very boring. Because we're like the FPL nerds, right? She plays it for a bit of fun, but. Yeah, like, she's not into like the big nerdy FPL stuff. But 100 Experts video series is a video I make every single game week. I absolutely love making it, where I gather 100, you know, highly engaged FPL managers and basically see what they're up to each week. Try and find some transfer trends, who they're captaining, if they're using any particular chips, what chip strategies they have. And yeah, we just get data every week and we try and present it in a nice way. A nice consumable way.
Which game week did you feel that you were incredibly shocked by seeing some of the trends? Because I think it would have been a few weeks ago where there was a series of about five different captains. Am I right?
Yeah. There have been weeks where we've had like eight or nine different captains that different people are going for. I've not seen that for a while, though. I can't think of any specific week that surprised me too much. Actually, to be fair, no, one week that surprised me was and it proved to be an absolute masterclass. I didn't see it coming at all. But do you remember the game week where everyone bought Heung-min Son in the it was probably game week 28, I think.
Okay. After Villa.
Yeah. No, before Villa. Was it before Villa or after Villa? I think it might have even been before Villa.
Before Villa, I think. Yeah, I know that Spurs blanked in 26, right? And then they were back in, they had Palace. That was the fixture that I think people were maybe jumping on a few. Ooh, Spurs. Because played in 29, didn't they, in the blank? Yeah.
So in that week, I remember Son, nobody none of our the experts that I kind of gathered the data from owned him previously. And the following game week, it was something crazy, like 85% had bought him in. Overnight, which it, to see a player, usually when we see like 85% of managers all bringing in the same player, it's like an Erling Haaland after he's just returned from injury, or a Salah when he's just come back from AFCON, not a Heung-min Son who has been playing the last couple of game weeks anyway. But it's just it was really surprised me to see so many people go so heavy on a player like that. But hey, it works out perfectly. He did really really well the following game weeks.
We've got a compliment also too from, well, it's towards Morgan as well. She's the star of the deadline stream. There you have it.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she hops on for, if we do a long enough deadline stream, if we're doing like a 2-hour deadline stream, we've got some time to fill. She come in and and I do a team, and then everyone likes the video, the chat goes wild. Just like, why do I even bother? I may as well just give her the YouTube channel at this point.
You never get that, do you? Sometimes I guess when you're streaming, there's so many comments, like it's hard to keep up with them, but like you've probably had a few where they're like, bring the wife back down.
She is the star.
Yeah, another video you do during the week early on, I would say it's actually a really good one too. It's the transfer tier lists as well. Does a lot of the community have a big input on that, or is that mainly from your perspective?
Oh, that's the tier list video is like a video I usually do on like a Sunday or a Monday. So very, very early. And I pretty much just go on vibes and rank players on a tier list based on how good I think they would be for a transfer each week. But that's very much a vibes one. And then as we go into the week, the further into the week, we go into more like stats and stuff like that.
Just briefly before we move into the fixtures that we have got to lie ahead, just a quick look on the public league. 27-point lead for JJ there. Looking quite competitive. You just don't know. With 6 game weeks to go, lots of chips being flied around. Anything can happen within a blink of an eye, especially with the variant swings in terms of captaincy. Dan, have you been impressed, let's say, in brief terms, by the variety of options for the armband as opposed to the last 2 seasons where it's been very dominant by a Salah, a Haaland, along with a Tottenham's Harry Kane?
It has been a bit of a variety, to be fair. Yeah. It's nice when you get it right, but my captain decisions this season have been absolutely shocking. So I kind of wish that it was just Erling Haaland every week. Then at least we'd all be suffering together. Because this season, I feel like every time I go for I've captained like Watkins against Luton and Sheffield United, and he's blanked in both of those games, and trying all kinds of different stuff. Haaland has been disappointing at times this season. Salah has been a little bit off it over the last couple of weeks as well. So the variety, I think, is good for the game, but I have to say it's been terrible for me.
Yeah, I have to agree with Dan, to be honest, Chaz. It is, as much as we love that, not headache, but kind of like having to pick between 3, 4, 5 players to captain in a game week, it does make it more fun and less boring having to pick the same player again and again. But it does make it a lot more difficult because that's when you see the swings. You know what I mean? If you don't get those captain picks, obviously depending on what rank you're at, but yeah, it just kind of hurts a little bit. You're like, damn it, got the captain wrong. You know, really back to the scoreboard. Yeah, it can be. So
I worked out this season, and my vice captains have scored something like double the amount of points that my captains have this season. So I'm getting it wrong. Like, you know, these split decisions, I get it wrong over and over again. Super frustrated. I miss Haaland being captain every week. But it is probably better this way. And if it's the same next season, who knows? You never know when you're going to be on the right end of things. Maybe it'll be slightly better next week or next season, or you never know.
Yeah. Someone mentioned this. I'll only keep it very brief because we've got an agenda to get on with. But yes, it is actually true. I do actually contribute to Dan's video pretty much every week, but I genuinely just love the bombardment of the community, more importantly, especially when you need about 5 or 10 more. You get about 30 in the space of 10 minutes, which is quite insane. Does that surprise you a lot?
It's really awesome that everyone's willing to get together and participate in the video series, because it is quite literally a video I would not be able to make each week if it wasn't for the amazing support of the community coming together and being open about what they are doing or planning in FPL. I think it's a really, really cool thing.
Reedy, fixtures time. What have we got to look forward to this weekend?
Oh, God. As you like to say, is it another bumper weekend, of football and fixtures? One thing I can say, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've got any more international breaks, right?
No more.
Hallelujah to that. Praise the Lord, whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm just so happy about that. I think the last one was a bit of a joke anyway. I think it's like friendlies and stuff like that, maybe a couple of qualifiers or whatever. But maybe if you were Wales, you tried to, qualify and didn't quite get there. But yeah, I mean, we've got some great fixtures coming up. The first one being Newcastle v Spurs. Can Newcastle sneak into that sort of like top four or five. Who knows what the Champions League, you know, how many Champions League places we'll have at the end of the season. At home to Spurs. Spurs are coming off the back of a win, obviously, against Forest, Newcastle against Fulham. And I think it'll be a great, great first game of the weekend, 12:30. I've got a couple of Newcastle players and obviously Spurs as well. I'm sure you guys are the same. Are you looking forward to that one?
I don't think I have any players from those two.
I saw your team not long ago. I think Chazza only put it there briefly, but I was certain you had at least, you know, one guy.
I don't have anyone. No, that's not a sausage.
Oh my God, no.
No, hang on, let me go pick team. Nope, nothing, nada.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I guess we can probably discuss it later on when we look at your team. I mean, this is your team for the week, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But I suppose we can do it now. I mean, are you planning on getting any Spurs or Newcastle or not?
No, I don't think so. No, dead ending into game week 34. So I'll be looking to pick up another double game week player or two for game week 34 and then wild card in 35. And that's when the Spurs and the Chelsea will come into the squad.
Yeah, I can see Eze. You've got Eze in there on the bench.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to go
for next week. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, Newcastle, Spurs, we can't have them all, can we? But onto the fixtures. Any sort of standout fixtures for you boys in particular or related to FPL?
Dan, you go first.
Well, Man City versus Luton's got to be the headliner depending on who starts. But I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later about Man City players, assets who may not be injured or...
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, that's the standout one, isn't it? Man City versus Luton from an FPL point of view.
Certainly. Yeah, I think Arsenal Villa is quite significant as well. There are
that's true
that have held Watkins, which like you kind of in the FBL community and bubble, you don't expect many people to have him. But there are people out there that kind of they've kept him and so on, and he scored big last week. So yeah, that is big in terms of what's also on the line. I mean, Arsenal look amazing at the moment. Bit unlucky maybe against Bayern in Champions League and so on, but Villa are also going for Europe, and it's Emery's old stomping ground. So I think that's a great fixture in terms of on paper and for FPL. People own Arsenal assets. I know you definitely own Arsenal players, Dan. So
yes.
You'll be hoping for a return and a win for your boys, as well as you, Chazza. What do you think about that one, Chazza, Arsenal-Villa?
I think similar to Dan, it's just a massive game for us too, having come off what was a taxing first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal against Bayern Munich. I felt, some would say we were probably stiff not to win, but I just, with our defence, it just simply came undone, which led to both of Bayern Munich's goals, especially in the first half with the penalty converted by who else? By Harry Kane. I think rotation would be important for this sort of game too, but the usual starters to start. We just have to win. It's as simple as that. But I agree as well. Double up Arsenal defence for some significance for fantasy managers. My game of choice, I'm going Liverpool Crystal Palace, mainly because they've got three big stars who've just hit the training track this week in Alisson, Jota, and Alexander-Arnold. The question is, who starts between that? Is any of, for example, Diaz or not Nunes? I think he starts. But anyone from midfield get rotated, which can put a bit of limbo for people wanting to select Liverpool assets and transfer them into their team heading into their double next week.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit less... I don't know. We've got players coming back for Liverpool anyway. I mean, Jota's back in training. Trent's back in training. Alisson's due to come back at some point. So hopefully, I mean, I own Kelleher. I know you do as well, Dan. Hopefully we get one more game week out of him, but I don't expect it to have him for the double. But I think because we have Europa League compared to, Arsenal, City, you've got that fixture again next week. Is it next week, right? Is it? The return?
Next week. Yeah,
it
yeah.
Yeah. I questioned myself then. So I feel like maybe Liverpool might be a bit safer to go with your Diaz's if you wanted to bring someone in for the double and so on. Whereas, I don't know, maybe there is rotation for the likes of City and Arsenal with those Champions League fixtures kind of in the balance, really. They're not done yet. So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Really the transfers, ins and outs heading into this game week. For once in a good while, there has been a massive spread in terms of the players that people want to go for.
Yeah, Cole Palmer. Still people bringing Cole Palmer in. You know, just crazy. I mean, he came off early as well, actually. I don't think I mentioned that earlier. I captained him this week, like I'm sure many people did. And yeah, he kind of got subbed, which I found really weird. I know we'll have presses coming up, but I thought may have been injury related. De Bruyne is another one after a massive haul. I mean, I guess, Dan, we're used to seeing this sort of thing, aren't we? Reactionary knee jerk, like people just
whoever scores the most points last week.
Yeah, pretty much. So that doesn't surprise me. And I mean, in terms of players transferred out, is Son a surprise one, guys? I mean,
I think the hype towards De Bruyne is what is causing people to sell Son. Son's, you know, got an assist last game, blank the game week before. De Bruyne has just got, how many points was it? 15 pointer, something like that.
Yeah, it was
18. Wow, there you go. After the bonus, 18. Incredible. So I think, a lot of people who are maybe more reactionary FPL managers will say, well, Son has just scored, a blank and a single assist. De Bruyne has just got all of these amazing points and he's about to play Luton, whereas Spurs play a red fixture in Newcastle. Whether Newcastle should be a red fixture is another question. But it's the reactionary stuff, isn't it? Those kind of transfers.
Yeah, that is true. I am taking Son out, so I don't know why I'm like saying, is it a bad thing? I'm only doing that because I haven't got a free hit and I need a doubler for 34. So I'm going a bit a week basically early. And bringing in Diaz for Son, that could hurt me. Obviously, Son's ownership is you know, I think he's still pretty high, you know, within the game. But obviously, it can be rank dependent and so on. So that for me, I think I just want an extra Liverpool. And I think that Newcastle at home is a little bit slightly better than being away. And that's all I'm taking my chances on, basically. So, yeah.
For these, I'm in full agreement with Dan in regard to Son, especially with and you, Reedy. I think the other thing is depending on chip strategy too. I think if you don't have any chips and you're just trying to field as many doublers as you can and do the hokey-cokey, I could see the reasoning behind Son being out. We've got a question here from Danish too, is should I sell Son for Diaz? I personally feel it's dependent on chip strategy and the team value that is tied up from Heung-Min Son. How much of a role, I'll go first to you, Dan, then to you, Reedy, how much of a role does team value play now in the back end of the season?
I pretty much ignore it, to be perfectly honest. I'm not really too interested in team value. Everyone, you know, you at the end of the season, you remember your rank and your points, not what team value you had at the end of the season. It gets reset to 100 anyway after that. So, yeah, it's nice to have it, but usually if you're doing well and you're picking the right players, team value will come naturally anyway.
That's true. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think it's getting to that stage where you're more focused on when to play your chips and obviously like the doubles and things like that. So, you know, all right, you might be out from getting the player you want, but I think you're going to be pretty close to the team that you want and need kind of for this very back end of the season.
I think another aspect I'm quite surprised by is a genuine massive hokey-cokey on Ollie Watkins. He's got Arsenal away coming up when he was injured by mass sales of him and then a second week of mass sales and then he just scores two goals. No, so we want him back in. He's got no doubles. Dan, in this case, are you genuinely surprised by how big of a fluctuation has been week on week since game week 30 on this man?
No, again, it's like it's reactionary, knee-jerk kind of FPL managers who make up the majority of the player base. They will see the big haul from Ollie Watkins and they'll say, okay, I've got to buy him. Of course, like you say, no doubles and Arsenal away is the next fixture, which is not only the most difficult fixture you know, a player, an attacker can have right now. Arsenal are such a good defence. Like, they're the best defence we've seen in the Premier League for 4 or 5 years. So this is quite literally the most difficult game on paper, the most difficult game Ollie Watkins will have faced for 4 or 5 years, if you kind of think about it that way. So it seems like there must be more opportunity elsewhere. Like Darwin, for example, better fixture this week and a double game week next week. Like, who's scoring more points over the next two game weeks? Watkins with Arsenal and Bournemouth, or Darwin against Crystal Palace? And is it Fulham and Everton?
Yeah, exactly. You've hit the nail on the head, Dan. I think it is definitely just kind of the knee-jerk kind of people outside of maybe thinking, oh, he scored big. We want to either get him back or get him in general. You've got to play the fixtures at this point. I mean, don't get me wrong. Would I be jumping to Darwin? I mean, I think I'd be waiting a little bit maybe in terms of to see what happens with Jota. I don't think Jota's going to come straight back in, but we saw it in game week 25. I certainly learned this as well, where, you know, I brought in Liverpool players and Jota then got injured against Brentford, and it was a little bit of a muddle and not what people were hoping for. So, you know, but in terms of what you're saying, Dan, you know, you'd rather have Darwin than Watkins, you know, all day long, I think.
Yeah. Given what we've said. Maybe like an Isak or someone like that. Nice fixture against Spurs this week. Can't remember who Newcastle play in 34, to be honest. But they've got some nice fixtures after that. Then a double in 37. Solanke, nice fixture against United this week. Double game week next week. There's just better options out there at the moment. It feels like there's better options.
Yeah.
I have so many tricky decisions to come, especially within the last six game weeks. Fantastic takes on Ollie Watkins. You can't get wrong. In terms of what we learned from a previous deadline, especially to the viewers out there, what we've learned is the first legs done of both Champions League games, Arsenal 2, Bayern 2, and Arsenal now have to travel to Bayern Munich to see if they're able to progress through to the next round. Madrid 3, City 3, what a game that was. But just like a Warrior meme, I've won, but at what cost? And the cost is, well, in fact, no one actually won, so I've drew, but what cost more? So Phil Foden coming off. Dan, first to you. Considering Pep is hosting Real Madrid in the second leg after Luton game, do you see him risking Phil Foden on Saturday or not?
I don't think it's super likely, is it? After that. Although, I have to say, it seems from what I've heard that there is no injury to Foden. He's actually going to be... He's like fine. It's not going to be an injury. So it'll be a case of whether he gets rested or not. The other thing with Foden is that he's not really been rested at all this season, other than in, well, last game week 32. So was that his rest? And therefore, do we get another one? Is he going to be playing one game per week for the rest of the season? You probably thought, no, Foden is going to probably play, you know, he might not play two games per week, every week, but some weeks he'll play two games per week. Is this going to be one of those weeks or not? I don't know.
I think City, though, we all know, right, that City have got a huge amount of quality and Foden's sort of become even better of a player this season from what we've seen from him. At home to Luton, like, I know Luton are fighting, and given what we've said about points deductions to Everton and Forest and so on, you just don't see Pep. You know, you can see that he could play Alvarez. He did it against Villa the other week. I know it was a midweek fixture and there was congested fixtures, you know, because it was like, you know, weekend, midweek, weekend. But obviously with the Champions League and the intensity that that brings and the complete sort of different vibe it brings to a Premier League game, because you were talking about Arsenal's defence being amazing this season in the Premier League, but when it comes to Champions League, it's a whole different ball game. So I do think Pep, if he's... If you know, Pep's how we expect him as normal, he will probably rest Foden and maybe bring him on if he needs to. But do we really think they'll struggle against Luton? Yeah, I don't expect it. So I guess given what we've said, I know we'll see your team shortly or in a bit for game week 33, Dan. But at the moment, you're thinking bench him,
Foden. If if Foden gets benched this week, and I think there's a good chance of that happening, I think you just sell him, no matter who you are. If you are wild carding in game week 35, you're not gonna. If Foden's not playing this week, he's useless to you because you're gonna want a double game week player next game week. You've got players like Havertz and Saka and Luis Diaz. They're ripe for the taking. Foden will just be an automatic sell if you think he's not going to play this week.
Yeah. So that's basically, well, if I had him and I don't have a free hit, like some of the people maybe in that situation, basically you can and sell him and kind of similar to the Watkins situation. Even if he has one fixture, you've got guys there who have a great fixture this week and maybe then even a double next. So, yeah.
I guess if you have a free hit, you would possibly just bench him this week. Because you are going to want him back, aren't you? Really?
Yeah, sure, exactly. Free hit kind of feels like you'll still want him for the run in. And, you know, as you said, I think at the beginning, Dan, that it doesn't look like he's injured. He kind of picked up a slight knock, which isn't worrying. Yeah.
I think, yes, on Phil Foden, he could easily be a top priority sell. But personally, in my case, and it's very, every manager now is just driven by their chip strategy. So, as you said, if you're wanting to bench boost in 37 and you can play free hit, just bowl with him in your side. It doesn't really matter. And the team value, I agree with Dan, doesn't really have much bearing at this time of year. But what an interesting point of view is, and it is in relation to Foden, we get this conversation a lot for a lot of double game weeks that occur, is will his single game even outscore potentially a replacement of some sort who have a double in 34?
That's a good point. I mean, yeah, like particularly if we get like a Luis Diaz or a Kai Havertz or a Saka or something like that playing only one of the two fixtures and maybe getting a bench appearance off the other, then suddenly a lot of the single game week players are going to actually look very good, and Foden will be one of those single game week players that a lot of people will ignore or sell or bench. Same with Cole Palmer. I know he plays Arsenal, which is a little bit different. Man City play against Brighton, so. I just don't think it's the best fixture in the world, but you could definitely see Foden getting something from that.
Brady?
Yeah, it's. I guess if you look at it like that, it's similar to that game week 25 double. You bring in a player, or even people who are wildcarding for, which I completely forgot about, the Bournemouth and Luton double in 28. Which was a bit crazy. And obviously, like, I was one of those who doubled, but I mean, mine was more just because it was the timing and like some team dependent stuff and how I was looking for 29, which I think was the reaction of many people of, oh, I've got like, I don't know, four or five players for 29. So I'm going to wildcard in 28 and hope that I get a great sort of gain from it. It wasn't the case. And you do find that we really love these doubles, but they can just be a little bit underwhelming. So it's an interesting point that Gary makes. And I don't know, I feel like this double game week or the next two that are kind of coming up, especially, I feel like there's a lot to play for at the minute. So I would be like a Havertz. We haven't mentioned Havertz until Dan said him then. You know, I'm looking at an Arsenal attacker, at least two of them, and then obviously Liverpool attack as well. So I think the way that those teams are playing and what's on the line, I think it's for me to sell Foden or get rid of him. Because I think, you can obviously look at getting him back for 37. City play Spurs and Burnley, is it? Was it the other way? Or is it the other way around? Is it City play Fulham? My bad. Fulham and Spurs. So, you can always get him back for that. But I do get the question, Foden could potentially outscore in that game against Brighton. So, yeah.
That's one of the announcements we got yesterday. It being six sides having a double game week in 37, along with Manchester City and Tottenham. It's also Newcastle, Manchester United, Chelsea and Brighton. From a fixture perspective, Dan, as well as maybe Man City, are there any other sides that look good to invest in?
Newcastle for 37, doesn't look too bad. Looking at the likes of Isak, potentially Trippier if you can afford it. Yeah. Okay. Good. Burn 4.5 million, maybe.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of João Pedro for Brighton as well.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think I'm gonna go there.
Again,
because he stung me before. Bought him in, he got injured pretty much immediately. But now he's back. Game week 37. Who did Brighton play in 37 again? Let's get this on my screen. I seem to remember it being not too bad. They play Newcastle and Chelsea.
Newcastle and Chelsea, that's actually pretty good.
It's not too bad. Definitely both teams capable of conceding goals. João Pedro on penalty should be 100%, a million percent fit by that point. Mm. Cheap. He's like 5 million. Oh,
5.2.
Yeah. Like for a bench boost, if you're playing a bench boost in 37, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't seem convinced by that one.
I'm looking at the fixtures. I'm like that. I'm listening to you and I'm looking going, oh, is there someone better? It's not that I'm trying to kind of get someone better, but like, as soon as you mentioned bench boost, and like I know from my perspective, looking at who I've currently got that would be on my bench boost, it's shocking. It's like Carter Morris and Kirkers and players like that. So obviously it's not great. But I was just looking, I was thinking, like, realistically speaking, for his price, it is a good shout. It is actually a good shout. And the reason that I smiled when you mentioned him at the beginning was I have a friend that is obsessed with João Pedro. Like, he thinks he's like the greatest striker in the league. Like,
he's had him that far.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's had him before and stuff. And he's literally like, now he knows he's coming back. He was like, I'm going to get João Pedro. You know, should my moves this week be João Pedro and someone or Haaland and someone? And most people like, what are you doing? Just get Haaland. Yeah, so I like it. Yeah, I really do like it because I think, you know, you can go there with Isak. If you have Haaland, you know, he has a double, so it feels like those two spots are filled. And then you want to use that bench boost. You know, João Pedro's kind of the pen guy, isn't he? You know.
Yeah. So. I don't know where, but for other forwards for 37, though, I mean, I guess Haaland. Yeah. Who else is there, though, really?
Manchester United are at home to Newcastle and then at home to Arsenal, which actually could be quite an interesting game because United, they might have nothing to play for and just do anything to rattle at Arsenal.
Yeah. I've got a forward for you that you've no one's mentioned that I know we all know of for certain, Mr. Jackson.
Of course.
Yeah, for Chelsea. I mean,
it'd be terrible for FPL challenge this week.
Yeah, two away fixtures, which you're thinking, not great. Then again, it is Chelsea. You literally just don't know what you're going to get with him. That's the thing. They play Forest away. That game could be massive for Forest in terms of trying to stay up and so on. And then they play Brighton, which isn't too bad of a fixture, to be fair. So, yeah, he's another option. But I still like the João Pedro one more. He's cheaper as well. So
yeah.
But there aren't many options. Spurs don't have a striker in the game that you can kind of pick. It's all midfield. Yeah. Liverpool play Villa away. I mean, unless you have Darwin already for that, but it's, you know, yeah, it's dare I say slim pickings considering we've had quite a good selection of strikers for that game week. It feels
definitely
like that. Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, that's our thoughts, Chazza. Anything from you? I mean, I know you mentioned Hoyland and stuff, but is there anyone you've kind of
I think maybe in other positions or something.
Yeah, so I think what has been really intriguing, I don't think a lot of people go for this guy on a bench boost come 37. He's showing really good form at the moment. Brennan Johnson from Tottenham, he's got 11 returns in the last 13 game weeks. But when he does play, he's quite efficient, similar to Leandro Trossard from Arsenal. He's a bit of a game changer as well. He's probably taken over mantle from James Maddison. Since Maddison's come back from injury, he's looked completely a shadow of what he wants was. Do you feel that's a fair assessment on Brennan?
I think so. I think Richarlison's injury has also really helped Johnson's minutes potential as well, to be fair. So I think that could be a little worrying going forward if Maddison recaptures his form. Kulusevski as well has not really been in the squad as much or the first choice team as much. Where he was previously like a nailed on guy, which he hasn't been so much recently. I do worry if Richarlison comes back in, then Brennan Johnson suddenly real minutes risk.
Yeah, I think it's such a conundrum with where Ange would play his players, because automatically if Richarlison comes back in, you assume Son goes to the left. Then that leaves the right spot open to kind of, is it Kulusevski? Werner, probably not, because he's been playing on the left for them. So, you know, he'd go out. But then, yeah, there's just, I think the main thing I've looked at with that game week and those two fixtures for Spurs, they're both at home, which is good. And mainly, really, you want to get your points from the Burnley fixture. That's really it, because they play City. Spurs, you know, history tells us that they've been actually quite good against City and pulled off some good results. But I think that's the one where always in double game weeks, we kind of think, right, we've got a player that play in two fixtures. As Dan alluded to before, you know, you might find there's rotation or there's been an injury or something. So you kind of got to you've got to be careful with picking Johnson, because he might get one and not get the other. But I think mainly you just want to target that Burnley fixture for Spurs, which is the first game for them. Yeah.
Like Son, I'm really genuinely tempted to captain Son in game week 37 against Burnley, a team that suits his play style. Against Man City, another team that suits his play style. He always does well against Man City. I think earlier this season against Burnley, he scored like a 15 pointer or something. I think he scored against 20. Was it 20 pointer? There you go. And did he score against Man City earlier this season?
He would have done, yes. Kulusevski has such a strangely really good record against him as well.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the reverse fixture, the one that was at the Etihad, finished 3-3. Yeah. And I think Son come out with a 10-pointer in that. I don't know, you know, at that point in the season, whether we'll see the same amount of goals. It might be a bit more of a cagey affair, depending where both are at in the league. Obviously, if the title's still on the line for City and Spurs are going for top four, you know, it may depend. But I'm excited at that potentially being the case, you know what I mean? But yeah, Son just feels like up there, definitely with a captain option for that week, for sure.
Really interesting. I think everyone will go for Haaland, realistically, but yeah, could be fun.
Will be indeed. Before we go to our next phase, and it looks, just before we go to the questions, you got another appearance on the same screen as well there, Dan.
Yeah, my cat has joined in. Say hello. Here he is. He's my best friend.
Best pet appearance.
The real man of the house. The real man.
Yeah. The real.
That's
the real deal.
What a guy.
On Burnley, we've got a question, but it's for game week 33. And those that are tuned in and waiting for their question to get answered, thank you so much for your patience. We've had to smash through loads of topics. So finally, your time has arrived. And John David, firstly, thanks, sir, as always, for tuning in. For game week 33 at home to Brighton, for Fana punt, worth a shout, Reedy, or not?
For game week 33?
At home to Brighton.
Oh gosh! I mean, what a question? What am I supposed to say? No, straight away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Fafana punt. Who are you taking out? I suppose is the question. I guess it's someone terrible.
Be a Morris, won't it?
Yeah, it feels like it'll be a Morris. I'd probably say no, only because the transfers at this stage do feel quite well, we're limited in terms of time we've got left, so therefore we've not got many transfers. So I'd probably say no on that one, John, unless you really, really are desperate to kind of like, you know, claw some points in this game week. But yeah, so probably an avoid for me. Sorry, John.
Well, I think if you're free hitting in 34 and you're just going for a genuine 1-2 game week punt, and it's coming away from a Morris or a Muniz who we kind of don't need anymore for the season, they've got no doubles. Probably worth a shout because Brighton at home, really good. But then Burnley are away at Newcastle. We know Newcastle can defend pretty poorly. So it could be worth going there. Another big question from him. If you do not have any chips left, this is a strategy that no one really talks about. Would hits in to get double game week, because to field players with an extra fixture, be a good move for till the end of the season? Hits if necessary, though. Dan.
The problem is any player that you remove now to bring in a double game week player is probably going to be a player who doubles later on in the season, because there's basically two sets of players, a bunch of players that double in 34 and a bunch of players that double in 37, with a few players who double in neither. So I think you could maybe take hits to remove players that don't double at all for the rest of the season. But if you've got no chips, you also need to keep one eye on the game week 37 double as well as the 34 double. And yeah. if you're taking hits in order to swap doublers for other doublers, then are you actually gaining anything when you look throughout the entire rest of the season?
Yeah, that's why having this free hit is so great. Like, I don't have it. I wish I'd still had it. But it's such a useful chip for this 34.
Or the wild card.
And the wild card, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could always wild card in possibly 35. I don't know whether people maybe do it this week. I know there are some out there that might wild card this week. But, yeah, this week or 35 and so on. But, yeah, if you don't have the free hit, it's a juggling act, isn't it, Dan? And, I mean, you are going to end up taking multiple hits because, you know, I'm in a situation where I've got to be careful that I'm bringing in Arsenal players or Liverpool. And then I know for 37 that I'm going to want City, you know, Spurs and so on. So, yeah, it's a bit tricky.
Yeah, it's really difficult if you don't have chips left at this stage of the season.
Quick one for you, Reedy. If Jota makes a return, does Darwin easily move to the right or is he staying central?
I think he probably stays central. I think the difference now is we've got Salah, whereas when Jota was playing on the right, we didn't have Salah during that period. So Jota was on the right, we had Darwin in, through the middle, and then obviously Diaz on the left. So I expect Darwin to stay in the middle with Salah being there. I highly doubt Salah's going to get dropped, stuff like that. So yeah, Darwin through the middle still, or potentially on the left if there's rotation between him, Jota and Diaz.
Dan, next question to you. Does Alvarez come in place for Phil Foden this coming game week?
Alvarez more likely to come in for Haaland, to be honest. De Bruyne is probably going to play now, you would say, given that his rest in the Champions League. But nothing is guaranteed in the world of Pep Guardiola. And even if Alvarez is the one this game week, he is very unlikely to be the one the following game week or indeed game weeks after that either. So, yeah, I'm not sure if we have enough game weeks, well, enough particularly when we've got to think about all the double game weeks and stuff. I don't know if there is spare transfers right now to be making these kind of punts, but if you feel like you've got a plan and you can still get to all your double game week players very easily and take the odd punt on someone like Alvarez, then yeah, sure, go for it.
Last question for now. I'm going to fire this one over to you, Reedy, despite it being a rival club. Thoughts on Bruno Fernandes? Looks to be for double game week 37 with great form. Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley as his next three. Interested or not?
I think firstly, though, Bruno Fernandes is someone over previous seasons we're used to saying good things about. And obviously, putting him in our FBL teams, and it's been the opposite this season. Great goal, obviously, against us, unfortunately, last week. But I think you have got to potentially consider him. I think more if you're, I don't know, actually, if you're free hitting or not, because the fixtures are actually still good before they're double. That's the thing about United. So, how much is he at the minute? If any of you get this right, I'll be amazed. I mean, I don't know how much he is. Is he
8.something, shouldn't he?
8.2. Yeah, there you go, 8.2. So I guess it's team dependent, and I guess that if you can fit him in, you know, and you're using maybe a free hit and so on, I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. Who are you taking out, though? You want to probably have Salah. You want to have Saka. You want to keep Palmer, I guess. There's not many slots, but if you can get him, I mean, over the last four game weeks, he's got 11, 2, 8, and 9. So, you know, with the fixtures that United have coming up, you know, Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley, Palace, not a bad, maybe, what would we say, differential, Dan, at this stage?
Yeah,
he's not owned, not highly owned, is he? So, yeah, don't mind that. Don't mind it.
Yeah, if you're free-hitting in game week 34, though, surely. If you're not doing it in the 34, you probably look elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think so. Fantasy Challenge, a new game format that would have been established 5 game weeks ago. I'll start off with you, Dan. Have you given us a go or not?
Yeah, well, like I'll make a quick 10-minute team. It's become a bit of a thing that I don't look at it all week at all. I don't even know what the rules are each game week typically. But then on the when I do my deadline streams, we usually wait half an hour after the deadline for the lineups, the official lineups to come out, and then we look at the lineups before wrapping up. And during that time between the normal FPL deadline and the lineups are released, there's half an hour to kill. So in that time, at the moment, we're usually doing on the YouTube channel, just going through doing a bit of challenge stuff for half an hour. But that's literally the only time I'll look at it throughout the whole week, to be honest, just that half an hour slot.
Reedy, have you got a team for this coming week? And it's a shocker one. It's more like a Nicholas Jackson Darwin Nunes game week, because where if it's red card, -8, yellow card, -5. Got a team or not?
I have done a team, and you know what I did? I auto picked it. So I ended up I've just lived this minute took Haaland, brought Haaland in, for like Chris Wood or something. As you can see, Brereton, Diaz, McBurney. I mean, do you know what? For an auto pick, they did all right going for Arsenal guys. And I know that I think the thing this week is like try and avoid yellow and red cards, which is one of the weirdest things I've ever kind of seen concepts on a game. You know, I know some people are trying to kind of just go against that and do the opposite, get as see how much minus points they can get, which does seem more fun, I'm not going to lie.
It really does.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is it. Auto pick, as I say. I might then look at it again before the deadline and just try and have a play around with it. But yeah, not really paid massive amount of attention towards it. I think when you're looking at, you know, the proper game, as we call it, like you're more focusing on where you're finishing in mini leagues and rank and what moves you can make there. So, and I know for Dan as well, I mean, the content that he puts out, this is almost like the back of your mind, isn't it, Dan? You know, so that's me for this game. We'll see how it goes, I guess.
I've got a team. I took 2 minutes, and to be honest, it was nearly a symmetrical version of copying someone else's team. Look, it's mine. Ray and goal, you know the rest. Chris Wood for a laugh. Isak up top because he's a governor. And, yeah, that's about it. Honestly, I don't really. But one in game week 34 is terrible as well. If you pick someone from promoted sides, you get double points. Oh, my God.
So we're all going back to that thing of Luton. Burnley, you know.
Quadruple Luton. Oh, don't get
Wait, what week is that one? Is that game week?
Game week 34. So it's when Sheffield
United... That's double game week?
Yeah, Sheffield United have a double game week.
So even though your Luton Town and your Burnley players play, well, get double points, they only play once. So you may as well pick double game week players anyway.
Yeah, just pick 5 Sheffield United players. I don't know, Brereton Diaz.
Pick a bunch of Sheffield United players and then Liverpool and Arsenal and ignore Luton and Burnley.
pretty much. I mean... You could go with a couple of Burnley, I guess. I mean, Fofana, I think John was asking before about that. If you want to go for him
in challenge, that sounds a little bit better.
So maybe, but oh, God. Yeah, it is a bit backwards. You make a good point there, Dan. You know, it seems a bit like, oh, wait, you've got double game weekers for really good teams, but you're going to pick the bad teams for single game weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, other than Sheffield United, that's the only team worth picking from there.
Mm-hmm.
Weird stuff.
Discussion wise for this installment, Dan, I wanted to get to your trends from yesterday's 100 experts video. And if you guys have not watched it, please do so, because there is some fantastic information that Dan is able to collate and engage a lot of community members into this video. So please check it out. On the transfer trend section, where you go through how many transfers are each of these experts making, and it's 39% making one transfer, 31% of managers making 2 free transfers, 4% making 3 transfers or more, which means hits needing to be taken, 25% are rolling, and maybe both briefly mentioned about wildcarding this week, 1%. Now, Dan, in your case, are you surprised by these numbers, or did you feel more were going to wildcard in 33?
I honestly didn't expect anyone to wildcard in 33, to be honest. I think 35 was the next big wildcard week, really. So I didn't expect any. 1% is about right, because there's always, you know, when it's 100 people, you're always going to get an outlier that you might be surprised by. What I did find very interesting is I kind of looked at the chip strategies of the experts, and those who are free hitting in game week 34 are more likely to be making far more transfers this week. So if people free hitting next week are going crazy with transfers this week, but people who are not free hitting next week are maybe being a bit more reserved, a lot more rolling their transfer, looking to go into game week 34 with two free transfers to maybe maximize their double game week players like more immediately in game week 34. I think that was pretty interesting.
Before going to our sides, as always, we want to give our main shout out to our big sponsor, Bonus Bank. Bonus Bank being Australia and New Zealand's best side hustle, where you can make a guaranteed profit from bookmakers by taking advantage of their promotional offers. They have easy to learn tutorials and software that does the hard work for you. It's free to sign up, and you can also upgrade to premium membership. Use our code FPLaddicts to receive 25% off your first month. They also do the probabilities for you. The side that is more likely to keep a clean sheet, unsurprisingly, this weekend is Man City on 53%, and the asset likely to score is, of course, Erling Haaland. He may be a popular armband choice, which we'll get to in a couple, in a few minutes' time. He's at 65%. Now is the time that a lot of people have been tuning in for, the special guest team reveal. Dan, you've pretty much given your team for what it is. Is there any other additional information you wanted to put on top, or any moves you're thinking even for next week?
I am in a bit of a predicament, and we have a Foden-shaped problem, I think. If Foden, if it looks increasingly likely that Foden is not going to play, I think I'd just sell him, and I'd probably go for Kai Havertz because I've got one available Arsenal slot. After that, it's tricky. I had planned this game week for Foden to be playing, to be starting, to be doing amazingly, and now I'm a little bit worried that's not going to happen. I had hoped to roll this transfer, to be honest, and then next week I'll do a double transfer of Foden and Kelleher to Diaz and Rea, getting my triple Arsenal and triple Liverpool and a full team of double game week players and Haaland for game week 34. But yeah, the Foden thing might have screwed over that plan a little bit. But in fairness, I really like Havertz for this game week. I think Aston Villa, I've been watching their games, been looking at their numbers as well. Really, really weak defensively at the moment. They're putting up some of the worst defensive numbers in the Premier League, and they've just lost Douglas Luiz through suspension as well. So big opportunity, I think, for Arsenal attackers. Could be a blessing in disguise to move Foden to Havertz.
I like it. I really do. Same with you, Rudy.
Yeah. It's a little bit frustrating, the whole, you know, you had that plan and now we don't know what's going on with Foden. I guess that's the thing, isn't it? You pick between Arsenal or Liverpool. But I like Havertz. I do like the Havertz pick. I don't think there's much between him and, say, like a Diaz and so on. So, like, Arsenal have a good fixture at home against Villa, you know, as you said there about Villa's defensive stats. But I mean, same with Liverpool. We play Palace at home, who aren't great. So it some might even say it's a coin toss on that one. But
I would go for Diaz, by the way, if I didn't have Kelleher.
Oh, God.
Taking up my third Liverpool.
Of course.
Otherwise, I would just do it.
I do this myself, actually. I keep forgetting I've got Kelleher, and then I go, yeah, I'll bring a third. I'll maybe bring Darwin in. Oh, no, you can't. You come up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot that, of course. So it's got to be the Arsenal guy, basically. I mean, forget everything I've just said.
But no, you're right. Diaz, I think, is a really, really obvious pick. If I could, I would do Diaz this week, and then I'd do Rea in next week, because I'm not that fussed about having an additional Arsenal defender against Aston Villa. I like it for the double. Yeah, it is what it is. I'll have to see. We'll see what the vibes are saying close to the deadline. I mean, I could just go early and take a -4 and do Kelleher and Foden to Diaz and Rea this week. But then I would have a transfer that I'd have to use pre-wildcard in game week 34. And honestly, I don't know what other transfer I really need to make, to be honest. Yeah. I'm pretty much
what
there.
What do you do with the Aitnori possible conundrum? Obviously, we don't know whether he's going to be fit or not. But do you play Taylor or Zabani? Like, what?
I think it's fine to take a chance on Aitnori this game week if you already own him. But if Taylor or Zabani have to come in, then so be it. Defenders only score 2 points anyway unless they play for Arsenal, so it's not really going to make too much difference.
Yeah, it's not a game week changing decision, although sometimes this season that has been the case, but I think you're probably safe with, hopefully he is, but I mean, it is a shame because he's been one of the players I've not got in that I'm jealous of people having because of how attacking he's been and the position he's taken up for Wolves. So, hopefully he is fit for your case, Dan. But yeah, Havertz at the moment is definitely on your thoughts. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. Have you guys got any other suggestions of what I could do? I've got to bring in another double A gaming player.
I've got a suggestion, but it's not transfer related. I think it's bench order related, only because I saw beat United 3-0 at Old Trafford. Have you considered putting Zabane second on the bench as opposed to Charlie Taylor?
I have not, no. But that's, I mean, I would be open to it.
I've got another suggestion, which you'd be more open to, Dan.
Go on.
You support Arsenal.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want them to beat Villa.
I do.
Eze plays Liverpool, whose defensive record at home isn't the best.
Yeah,
Eze's really attacking. You just play Eze over Foden, save your transfer.
I thought about this. Yeah, I thought about this, but it's difficult.
You haven't got any Liverpool defense. Well, that's a lie. You've got Kelleher. I mean, do you take the gamble and play Neto instead? Like, that's your only slight conundrum.
It would be. I think it would be too risky to play that way. I would love to do it because it would mean I get to make my perfect transfers next week rather than trying to figure something out this week. But I think sometimes you just have to play what's in front of you. And if I know I'm not going to want Foden, and I know that Havertz looks nice, not just for this game week, but next game week as well, maybe I need to kind of, you know, worry less about the plan and focus more on who's going to get the FPL points now. Because you say like a Havertz or a Luis Diaz or something like that is going to score more points than Eze this week, probably. Because you never know in football.
Yeah, true. Oof. Sneaky little conundrum, only slightly, I suppose. But nevertheless, you always want to try and kind of have something in mind that you want for the game week. And obviously, Champions League seems to just throw a spanner in the works, of course, doesn't it? But yeah, how are you set up for this week, Chazza? I'll put your team in there.
I am in that camp in which probably best to burn. Use the transfer. Leading into a bench boost 37. So at the moment, it's very tough because there's a lot of people that are already in for 37. Some are in for 34 that do have good fixtures this week. And some that do need to get rid of, for example, Muniz eventually, but there's just not enough money to upgrade at the moment. Now, 2 free transfers, 0.5 in the bank. I'll show you the team for exactly this week. We're going 3-5-2. The Foden aspect, I'm just going to leave it as it is because bench boosting, I'm sure he'll be fine by the Madrid game. Muniz as a first sub is actually not a bad alternative. It being away at West Ham, pretty good fixture. Transfers, this is really, really tough, okay? Because I want to build to as many doublers as possible. There's been 2 that I've had on my mind. Solanke to Hoyland, but at the moment I'm kind of not rating it because Solanke at home to not just United and after... Got 2 games. And then after that, it's Brighton at home, which is also another good fixture for Solanke. Hoyland out of form, but has the fixtures. Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley. The other one I'm thinking is Ait Nouri to a Man City defender. It's a bit of a gobsmacking decision considering how attacking Ait Nouri is. But it is potentially an opportunity to go to another doubler. And I don't really know where else to go. Now, I'll tell you what, lads, I might need your help.
You're pretty well set up. Have you wildcarded recently, I assume?
31.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard.
Yeah, Muniz is the player that you want to remove, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't get to João Pedro at the moment, sadly.
You're free hitting in 34, though, right, Chazza?
I am, yeah. That's the difficult part. So,
You could maybe lose a Gabriel.
I didn't really think of that just due to the team value that has been built over time because I got them at 4.7. I've got bench boost left, yeah. Actually, Gabriel's not bad.
Well, okay, what about Raya then? Raya down to Petrovic potentially.
I thought of that. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then Muniz up to João Pedro. Does that work?
I'm sure it would work, yeah.
Infiltrated the FPL addicts with the João Pedro.
Yeah, so João Pedro plays Burnley away, and then you'd go to who was the keeper? We said
Petrovic. I don't like the double Chelsea down back.
No, I'm not sure that either, to be honest.
I mean, it'll work. Not that I'll do it at the moment, but it's good to have a tinker. Yeah, that'll work.
That's all I can think of because, I mean, Arsenal, they are great defensively and there's a great chance they'll keep a clean sheet this week. But against Aston Villa, I don't think it's guaranteed necessarily.
Mm.
Anyway. Yeah. And Petrovic against Everton. That's right. Isn't it? Everton at home, I think, for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's you'd say there's a fairly decent chance of getting something out of that, maybe.
So in 35, Brighton play Bournemouth away.
Yeah, that's so pretty good.
João Pedro for that. And then also Chelsea play Villa away and your other keeper is Onana, right? So United play Burnley at home. So you basically would have Onana for that week and then you'd play João Pedro. Well, maybe João Pedro. I like the moves, you know.
You're playing triple Chelsea in 35 for the double.
Yeah.
You'd probably look to add one more Spurs player in 35 as well after your free hit. I'm not sure where you go, to be honest.
Gabriel. That
could be Gabriel to a doggy. Although, to be honest, I think the Spurs defense in 35 could genuinely be a bit of a trap. Because isn't it Arsenal and Chelsea?
Yeah.
That's tough for a Spurs defense. I think a Gabriel could score just as well as a doggy, if not more, despite the single. But I don't know. I guess you always got to take a chance on the double, haven't you? But
yeah,
I don't know where else you go.
Aitnori,
potentially?
Yeah, Aitnori, I thought, to a Man City defender. That was probably the top move, but I like your move at the moment. But going to João Pedro more so than the goalkeeper one. But
we've got two free transfers. You've got to use both of them before your free hit.
What's your plans with Salah, Chazza? Because I know that I'll be keeping him only just because I'm thinking, well, I need to make other moves. But like, are you in a position where you potentially be open only because you're free hitting in 34 and then after 35, he doesn't have a double again? I know he's potential of getting big scores and stuff, but rather than like a Foden, Gordon, Palmer, you know, these guys have doubles, even Son, obviously, could you potentially go without Salah or would you be like, no chance?
Fantastic question, this. I think Salah, first of all, is a really good captain option for 35 away at West Ham. That suits his playing style, as Dan mentioned earlier. The direct replacement's nearby him. Is De Bruyne? Can we rely on him at the moment? Xiong-min Son is already in the team too. I'm probably not as inclined to get Salah out at the minute. I feel the moves could be better put elsewhere.
Yeah, it's only because we do play West Ham away, which is still a fine fixture. But then, you know, if you've got Son, you're more than likely going to captain him in that week. Chelsea, would you captain maybe Palmer instead? I think more than likely Son, right? So I was just thinking that is there a world where you kind of like look at getting rid of Salah? Could it help you? But
I think for money generation purposes, definitely.
Definitely from that point, you'd have tons of money, wouldn't you? But it's just whether it works logistically, like that's the only thing, isn't it? I know going without Salah for the back end of the season just seems like a crazy idea, doesn't it?
You need to get Solanke to Isak at a certain point as well, and you need to find some money in order to do that.
See, Dan's there, he's one step ahead, he's thinking of money.
Don't get me wrong, and in case people are reading it, I'm not actually anyone's best mate for the 23-24 season. That's Dan, because he is your best mate for the 2023-24 season. My name is Dan. Welcome back to another video.
Yeah, you're in a conundrum, but you know what? I think considering we could have spent ages looking at that, for Dan to just kind of like pop out with Petrovic and João Pedro, I don't think there's many out there who else that you kind of look at and go with. You've got time though, Chazza.
It's a good problem to have because your team is well set up, particularly with your free hit. Have two free transfers going into this stage. It's nice.
That's all right. All right, Reedy, is there anything else that I might miss before I do my huge segment, which just letting you know is captain's
yeah.
call. Five options this week, just letting you know, and a big curveball.
Yeah, just my teammate. It's all good. We can come back to it after captain's call.
No. Let's do yours.
You were winding it up there, weren't you? Ready to go? I'll fly through this pretty quick. I mean, it's self-explanatory. I think I've got 10 home players for this game week, which is great. Son is the move I'm thinking of making, just 1-3. I could obviously roll to next week, but I'm going to see how the game goes tonight because we play Atalanta in the Europa League. Depends what team Klopp fields and so on. So I am thinking Son to Diaz captain. I've got it on Salah at the minute. It could be Haaland. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I think, yeah, Reguilon hopefully does points again for me. That'd be great. This will probably be the fixture where he doesn't concede three or whatever. But bench is looking a little bit shaky-ish, but I'm happy with the 11 in general. What do you think, guys?
Morris still there?
He is still there, yeah. Doesn't get many minutes, like, from my team point of view, but he's still just sat there. I mean, I am looking at taking him out at some point. I can't remember who. Could end up being
got a suggestion for you.
Not surprised. Yeah, I mean, like, for that move, actually, I think, what is he, 5 million now? So what have I got in the bank? Well, I'd have more money anyway because obviously I'm taking out Son to Diaz. I mean, you get an extra, 3.2? So at some point, I know I'm going to get Son back in, so I've just got to be a bit wary of that. But is João Pedro 5-2?
5-2.
Go Mateta as well, potentially, for the double.
Good.
Yeah, Mateta, that's another one we've thought about.
You wouldn't bring him in this week, though, would you? Against Liverpool, really?
No.
Would you?
So,
no, probably not.
Yeah, no, probably not. I mean, it is either role for me this week because, I mean, Son against Newcastle is actually fine.
It's fine, isn't it? It's okay.
Yeah. So I could roll, and I was just maybe thinking, just do Diaz this week, and then I think it was get Havertz in next week. Who was I going to get Havertz for? I can't actually remember now. But yeah, I want Diaz and Havertz. That's the thing. But I can't take out Saka. He doubles. Gordon, I think, has a great fixture next week in the Newcastle play. Is it away? It's Palace away. I mean, I could maybe take out Gordon. But then again, if I take out Gordon, he plays Sheffield United at home the week after.
Doubles in a 37 as well.
Doubles in a 37. This is exactly what we were talking
Palmer's
about.
Palmer's a long-term hold as well.
Yeah, so...
It's only really Son, isn't it? But you'd be bringing Son back in as well.
Yeah. So it's almost like I'm taking Spurs out. I might just roll, Colm says. Never rolling. I'm never rolling. But yeah, so I'm kind of just going, 2-3s for next week. Could do that, couldn't I, instead? What do you think,
Boyd? I think I'd roll, personally, because I don't think Luis Diaz against Crystal Palace is significantly better than Son against Newcastle. I think there's a significant difference there. And it gives you an extra game week of information as well. So say there is like a crazy injury or something like that that changes the game a little bit. You have that, you know, extra transfer in the bank to react to that information. You know, what happens if we find out Jota is back and ready to go a lot quicker than expected? That might lessen the appeal of Luis Diaz, or you know, Jesus gets injured for 3 months and suddenly Havertz is nailed on for the double. I think it's just you get an extra week of European football where there could be injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or players
yeah.
playing extra time. You know, we could see Liverpool or Arsenal playing extra time next week.
Yeah.
I think I would get the extra information personally, but the move is good though.
The move is good, I think, but I think it's like, do I need to do this move? And the answer is no.
You don't need to do it now if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't need to. So I know the fixture for us is for Liverpool's appealing against Palace at home, but yeah, given what we've discussed, I think. Yeah, roll. I mean, Colm was was laughing at me saying about rolling, but you know what, Colm? I think I might just roll, mate. I might just take Dan's advice and roll. So that's me set for this week. Anyway, back to you, Chazza, on Captain's Corner, because I know that's a lot more important and people want to hear about that.
Oh, Jesus, a lot to go through. I can't lie to you, Reedy. We're going to start with the predominant two, it being starting off Erling Haaland at home to Luton Town. The Hatters have conceded the most goals of any side away from home. They've decided to concede 38 goals in their 16 road trips of the season. In addition, the Norwegian scored a hat-trick against the slot in the FA Cup at the end of February. He played a full 90 minutes in the Champions League on Tuesday against Madrid. Will he start? Will he bench? We don't know. He's forecasted to be the most favoured armband option. He's had 50% goal-scoring involvement in three of City's six goals in Man City's home matches in that Haaland has started in since coming back from his injury. Salah at home to Crystal Palace. He's had four double-digit hauls at home, 11 of his 17 goals scored at Anfield. He got 13 points with a goal and assist against Crystal Palace early in the season. Within his 13 appearances, speaking of, he's had 8 goals and 5 assists. Palace have conceded 12 goals in 5 games away from home against the Big Six. Cole Palmer, never ever discount him because he's now in contention. Who would have thought an asset, a gem, top of a draw, is also in contention for captain's selection in general, with at home 7 appearances, 8 goals, 2 assists. Bukayo Saka, spice man for North London. He scored in the Champions League midweek against Bayern Munich to put Arsenal 1-0 up. However, he holds an incredibly abysmal record against Aston Villa with only 2 goals and an assist in his 9 appearances against them. In this campaign, he's had 10 home appearances at the Emirates with 5 goals and 5 assists. Now, the curveball, the one people have been waiting for, Anthony Gordon at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Now, let me explain why. He's had the most points of any player from home this campaign with 104 points. That consists of 8 goals and 9 assists. Tottenham have kept 1 clean sheet on the road since game week 17. In addition, Tottenham have conceded 10 goals in their last 3 visits to the venue, with last season being 6-1. May your arrows be green, but also, I hope you nail your captaincy choice. Whether it's from a differential or it's my choices, time will tell. And it's in the hands of God. Thank you for another edition of the Captain's Corner.
Well,
brilliant. Brilliant stuff.
I tried. That was all.
I mean, there's not much more to say. I don't even want to spoil that. That was a good captain's corner segment there, Chazza. But yeah, I think obviously for the remainder of the week, I mean, we normally do the podcast on a Friday, don't we, Chazza? So this does feel a little bit like I'm here thinking in the back of my mind, oh, there's team news, injury updates, but
there
isn't. And obviously the deadline's not tomorrow, it's the day after. So we've still got obviously a bit of time to decide on what to do and stuff. But yeah, anything else you want to mention or discuss, Chazza? Any questions for Dan or any questions that we want to go through in the chat?
Well, I think it might be worth going through the chat, any last minute questions. But instead of the team news, we did very well this week. We just got Dan's wisdom about why we should get João Pedro into our team. So that's actually not bad for what it's worth.
He's going to do so badly now. This is going to go so wrong. I can feel it already.
One thing I did want to ask you, Dan, I suppose, is what team is that shirt that you're wearing? It's been on my mind the whole time, and I was thinking, is it Netherlands, Germany, is it?
No, this is Wanderers FC, which was one of the first ever football clubs ever. The one of the, you know, the classic like boarding school teams that used to compete before, you know, football as we know it now existed. But yeah, there were an old like a boarding school or university team, one of the first ever winners of the FA Cup, probably the best team of the earliest football era. Their football club unfortunately folded and then relaunched a few years ago, and they brought out this shirt. I thought, you know, it's like a same style as the original ones they wore back in the 1800s. And There we go. Wondrous.
Absolute heritage then, isn't it? I'm guessing, you know, this is way, way, way back in time, is the only way I can kind of put it. Well before we were all around, yeah?
Yeah. Let's do a quick Google. Wanderers? How do you spell that?
I also put it in and search, and I felt weird because, you know, the only team that comes to mind when you're searching Wanderers is Bolton Wanderers. Yeah.
Wanderers Football Club, founded in 1859.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. One of the first ever football clubs.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I did not expect that though, Chaz. You know, like I was saying, I don't know why in my head I was looking at the badge and I was like, oh, it's got the five stars or whatever. Oh, could it be, you know, could
is it
be
it, if you look at the badge, it's kind of got a Netherlands kind of vibe to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, right? I was a bit thrown off because I was like, wait a minute, can't be Netherlands. Like, but yeah, what a top, mate. I'm sure, like, you know, one of the good ones of many that you've got in your collection. But yeah, I think did we ask you who you're captaining this week? I know we've just had Captain's Corner from Chazza, but who are you going with this week, Dan?
I think I'm on Haaland at the moment, but I probably stick with that, to be honest. Yeah. Unless it looks like he's not going to start. I would love to captain Foden, but I don't think that's looking very likely anymore. Yeah. What about you guys?
I'm going Salah mainly because, so there's this time 2 seasons back where Dan had a superior season, and then Salah got his hat trick at Old Trafford. And then how did your quote go again? It was so legendary, Dan. It's like, if you made this decision, .. then you have to be accountable for your mistakes.
I actually can't remember it now. I know exactly what you're talking about though. Come back a better manager.
Yeah.
What? So you don't want that to happen to you then, Chazza? So you going with Salah? Go with the.
I'm going with Salah, and if he bangs, then I'll just pretty much copy and paste, put it as my own tweet, and then see what happens.
Salah maybe. I think Haaland's obviously. The thing that puts me off about Haaland is everyone's slating him at the minute just because he just scores goals and he does nothing else, basically. And he looks like a terrible player when he doesn't score. I mean, if De Bruyne and Haaland are playing this weekend, we know what happened in the cup game against Luton. Absolutely tore them apart. De Bruyne was just playing through balls for fun for Haaland. So that is a factor with De Bruyne getting his rest in the Champions League. And Salah, I mean, yeah, okay, he's looked okay lately, but has he looked like someone who takes people on like he used to? He almost looks like sometimes he'd rather put a pass to someone else than actually like kind of take people on or maybe shoot and so on. I think it is pretty close. I mean, closer than what you think, especially the De Bruyne factor, KDB factor, and if Foden's out, because De Bruyne just kind of like comes into the picture then. So mine's going to be a last minute decision. I'm going to go either Salah or Haaland. Yeah.
Before wrapping it up officially, Dan, is there anything you'd love to give a plug on or even a mention to the community that may still be tuning in?
Can we give a plug to the FPL Addicts podcast? If you're not following or subscribed already, make sure you do it and leave a like before you disappear as well. There you go. We'll plug the Addicts.
I was going to say, does Dan need to even plug his own channel, Chaz? I mean, you realise how many subscribers and viewers and
Still plug their own names, even though if they're famous. I'll just plug that opportunity.
One other thing I did want to mention, I mean, this is only quickly and briefly. I was potentially looking at going to Fest this year. I know they've changed the location, and I actually met you at one of the Fests, Dan. We probably talked about loads of different stuff. Maybe even Granite Xhaka was the subject of conversation that night, which, you know, I think I was slating him, and look what he's doing at the moment at Leverkusen. Albeit the German League is a little bit easier than the Premier League, but yeah, anyway, I may take some of that back. But yeah, I can't make Fest this year. Is that something that you're going to this year?
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. It's great, and the new location looks really nice as well. And it's gonna be so good that they're gonna be actually showing the first game of the season as well, because I felt like that, like, it defeated the whole purpose of Fest. You turn up as a fantasy fan and then don't even get to watch the football. But yeah, hopefully it's going to be different this year.
Yeah, I think that's it. Watching the game, the Wi-Fi issues. So that's great that you'll be there. So anyone that, you know, that is tuning in, that isn't going or doesn't know about FPL Fest, I know Chaz is itching to jump in. But yeah, so as I say, maybe get a ticket, go along. You can get to chat to Dan, you know, have a beer, whatever, and just the whole excitement of the first day of the season as well. Go ahead, Chazza.
Go ahead. Oh, massive thank you to you as well for sharing tonight, well, tonight or this afternoon's video, Dan, because we've managed to reach a maximum, I think it's a record for a channel, 835 people watching this.
No way.
Yeah.
That's sick. Wow.
I know.
Congratulations, guys. That's sick.
Kind of sick just to hear three men waffle about FPL and why we should bring João Pedro into our team. So it's actually, okay, it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's no other way than to wrap up on that note, is the Chazza. I mean,
that's it.
Absolutely made up to have you on today, Dan.
Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate the amount of time you've devoted from your usual schedule too.
No, it's no problem at all. If you want me back, just shoot me a message. I'm happy to come on like a few times a season. Like if you want me, of course, only if you want me. Yeah. I'm sure you've got other people you probably want to get on as well. But always happy to support what you guys are doing. Yeah. Really, really appreciate what you guys are doing. And Chaz, you've kind of helped support the 100 Experts series a lot recently. So it's the least I can do.
No, mate, you're very welcome. It's just a pleasure to be a part of. And I think what I don't really want to compare about the other major content creators, because I think everyone is exceptional what they do, especially their work behind the scenes. But what does stand out, Dan, I think probably because of your mindset, is that you want to find a way to be as engaging as possible within the community. You want to try and bring people together and their ideas and see what you can take out of it yourself as a manager.
Yeah. We're all learning to become better FPL managers, no matter how much experience you have. So yeah, it's always great to, you know, see what other people are up to and hear from different voices in many different ways, which is why podcasts like this are so important as well. Because you get to have a chat, talk to some other people, get some different opinions, different people with different perspectives. Yeah, it's great stuff.
Yeah, dude. All right, Brady, well, that does it from us for another week. We'll be back next week for Double Game Week 34. And that's going to be a bumpy edition with so many games to go through. What's our final message as per usual?
Oh, something like eat shit, Jack.
Yeah, eat shit, Jack. All right, guys, catch you later. May arrows be green. See you later.